Welcome back to the Puckin' Pod. On today's episode, we discuss our favorite personal live sports moments. We then talk about records in sports and if they can be broken. And then finally, we do a little trivia with our favorite movie quotes. That's all coming up next right here on the Puckin' Pod. Let's puckin' go. Welcome, welcome, welcome. It's another episode of the Puckin' Pod. My name is Joe.
My name is Brandon.
And I'm Paul.
Well, gentlemen, we got lots to talk about here. One of the things I wanted to touch on, maybe for a little while anyway, is talking about our own personal live sports memories. I mean, we've all been to live sports events before in the past. I mean, maybe not even sports, but like concerts and other things too. Do you guys have any specific memories that come to mind going to see live sports?
Are you talking about professional sports?
Like NHL, NFL, CFL, baseball, whatever. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I got a couple. I'll start off with one that I experienced. You know, this podcast is a lot about hockey. And I remember I was, how old was I? I was 13. And the Leafs went to, the Leafs were in Vancouver playing, and it was New Year's Eve.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
New Year's Eve 2000, I think, is what it was. And
25 years ago.
Yeah, a long time ago. Very long time ago. My dad used to get tickets through work, through the mail.
Oh, cool.
I think we went three consecutive years. I saw two Leaf games, and Colorado, I think, was the other one. I can't even remember. I was like 7 or 8.
Yeah.
Anyway, I was a big Curtis Joseph fan, and I was so excited to see Cujo play. It live in person, and we went over. We're staying at the St. Regis Hotel, a few blocks up from the arena. And we get there, they announce the starting lineups, and Glenn Healy is playing for Toronto.
Doesn't that surprise
you?
Yeah,
exactly. A little bit of a disappointment there. But what was so cool about the game is that the Leafs were up, I want to say going into the third period, it was 4-1.
Mm-hmm.
And then Vancouver came back and tied it at 4-4. Toronto scored, make it 5-4. Canucks scored right at the end of the game to make it 5-5 and then went to overtime.
Yeah.
And then Toronto scored in overtime to win the game 6-5. And I mean, hey, that might have been the last time they won in Vancouver for all I know they've been playing. But that was a big one for me. And I just, it was so disappointing that Glenn Healy played, although, I mean, proof's in the pudding. He let in 5 goals. But just to see that win on New Year's Eve was really cool because Dad and I, of course, were Leaf fans. Devin and Mom were kind of cheering as Vancouver fans.
Did all four of you go, or was it just you?
It was
and your
four
dad?
Of us. Yeah, oh, okay, four okay. of us went right over on. As a family. And I think Dad and I went and got, I can't remember, Joe's Pizza or something.
Yeah.
And we went and got it after the game. It was so great. My mom didn't really like pizza or anything, but just the whole experience of it, you know, was really neat, other than Glenn Healy, of course.
But I mean, you know, those are the kind of memories that I was thinking of when I came up with this idea, because you have so many memories from childhood, and you know, those kind of experiences, especially the fact that they won and everything too, but like those kind of experiences, they do imprint on you, you know, and they stay with you forever.
I totally do. You're making, you know, reference to Glenn Healy. I'm pretty sure that same season they were in Calgary. Same thing, I wanted to see Curtis Joseph. I think your game might have been a week or two after the one I saw, and they put Glenn Healy in it. And I remember sitting with my buddy John, who was taking to the game at the time because I was taking him for his birthday, and I could not stop being angry at the fact that Glenn Healy was in it and that I didn't get to see Curtis Joseph either. I'm pretty sure the Leafs lost the game, if I remember correctly.
I want to know who was in goal for the Canucks during that game. Was it Kevin Weeks or something?
2000? I don't know who it would have been.
That was the year after they drafted the Sedin, so they weren't even playing yet.
Mm-hmm.
But if I'm thinking like even like recent memories, I've been watching sport analysts and commentators and stuff like that since The Score and so on, when that was out in the late 90s and early 2000s. And I remember young Elliot Freeman on The Score. Obviously, he's become a bigger analyst now for Sportsnet and so on.
Mm-hmm. The biggest.
Yeah, even with like CBC and such. And when I was at the Canucks and Vegas game last year, he was out in the foyer talking with people, and obviously a little bit starstruck because I love to follow that stuff, and came up and asked, hey, can I take your picture and, you know, listen to you and Jeff on your podcast all the time. He's like, sure, Paul, it sounds great. You know, glad that you're following us. And yeah, really cool dude. It was really, really fun experience to run into somebody that you've been following for a long time, actually.
Yeah, that's cool. I mean, you know, I'm lucky in that I used to work in media, so I got to meet a lot of people that I looked up to growing up, especially local people. Like I've met, you know, there's a guy, I don't know if you're familiar with a channel here called Czech TV. There's a guy by the name of Gordy Tupper who used to be their kind of number one guy. I got to meet him a few times in the past, just working on the same projects, you know, like the bathtub races and stuff like that. And we got to work together, and super nice guy, like really awesome. And I grew up watching him on TV. And so it was like, I was a little starstruck getting to meet him and stuff. So it's kind of cool when you get to, you know, meet people like that, that you kind of look up to and idolize. You know, for me, I, you know, thinking about childhood, I think back to probably the very first professional sporting event I ever went to, which was going to a BC Lions game with my dad. I will never forget the experience of walking into the stadium for the first time and seeing how big it is. Just this giant field and this giant, like, there are seats everywhere. And, you know, this place holds 60,000 people. And you just look and it's just like, you're awestruck, you know, as a kid, especially as a kid, because as a kid, you're thinking like, this is probably the biggest thing I've ever seen in my life. To be fair, I still get that way when I walk into that stadium. I walk in there and it's just so big. I can only imagine what an NFL stadium's like walking into that.
I saw the Eskimos play in Edmonton in 2012, and it was the same thing. We got into the arena and we got to the top level, and it's kind of, Commonwealth is open. Yeah. And it's not closed. Like,
yeah,
Eastern,
it's an
place.
Open roof, yeah.
And my buddy Mike was showing me to our seats. We walked so friggin' far, man. I thought we were going to end up in Calgary. I just like, holy cow, this arena doesn't end, right?
Yeah.
They're just massive.
And, you know, probably one of my favorite memories, specifically going to a BC Lions game, is we went to a Western final, which is the final game. If you win that, you go on to play for the championship, which is the Grey Cup in the CFL. And it was BC versus Saskatchewan for the Western final. And BC ended up winning with a field goal right at the end of the game. It was literally like, if they make this, they win. And he made the field goal. And I just remember the whole stadium just erupted. It was pretty epic. I to this day, I still remember, you know, watching it on you know, the highlight package on the sports channel, and seeing everyone just go nuts. And that's exactly how we felt when we were there. It was the most incredible feeling. Do you have any other memories of sporting events as maybe as a kid?
Yeah, growing up, actually, as people know from previous podcasts, I grew up in Calgary. I went to Ethel M. Johnson Elementary School and Dr. E.P. Scarlett High School. One very notable high draft pick and superstar, certainly during his time.
NHL,
yep. I used to play ball hockey, at least at the school, when I was in elementary and in high school, against Danny Heatley.
Oh, cool. Okay.
The number two overall pick, I believe, in his draft year.
Wow.
And he was as good as he saw. Like, even as a kid, he was, you know, he could shoot it from across the gym and score, kind of thing. Like, it was pretty crazy, like, what he could do. But it was fun being able to play against him. As a kid, I was awful. Not that I was much better as an adult either. But it was interesting to be older and still, you know, like I said, he wasn't a star at this point, but to play against somebody that was that skill.
Yeah,
and
to, like, know that you played against this guy. Yeah.
And I'd had a few, like, stick checks that I was able to get away from him. But, again, guy could shoot from anywhere, so I was, you know, kind of in awe for whenever he was scoring, because I'm not that good.
Do you guys think it's perspective, or is it just the difference in the game? But I remember, because I used to play ball hockey quite a bit too, and I remember when you see guys play on the ice, it's almost like it's a fast pace, but it's a slower pace than ball hockey in a way. You see them on the ice, you see what they can do, but everybody's kind of the same skill level. When you play ball hockey, you generally have three or four guys that always have the ball, yeah, and then there's the rest of us, right?
Yeah, like it's not structured. So like ultimately everybody's just chasing the ball around basically. Like,
I went to high school with three or four guys that played competitive ice hockey. Mm-hmm. And then we'd get together on a Friday afternoon or whatever after school. We'd meet up in their neighborhood up in Wood Thrush up off of Jinglepot.
Yeah.
And we called ourselves the Wood Thrush Hockey League. I think there's an old website that even has profiles made up for us. It was cute. So funny. But these guys that played ice hockey, when they got out on the road and were playing ball hockey, like I thought I was a pretty good ball hockey player. And then you're just like, you can't touch these guys.
No, you know, it's funny. I have a comparable memory because, you know, as you guys know, I used to host a sports show. And one of the shows we did was a ball hockey tournament. But it was for the Guinness World Record of the biggest ball hockey tournament. And it was in Ladysmith. They literally closed down the downtown core of Ladysmith to have multiple games at once, basically. And one of the games I had to play was me and my TV crew. We were all on a team, and we had to play against the Nanaimo Clippers. And the one thing I remember the most, okay, so we're playing with these hard orange balls, and the one thing I remember the most is taking a shot to the shins off of a Nanaimo Clippers player. Yeah, I don't ever want to feel that again. The most painful experience.
Like it went through your leg.
Literally, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I've been
and I'm
there.
Like, you guys aren't even... And they're like, oh, we're taking it easy on you. I'm like, oh, jeez. So, needless to say, we lost that game.
I mean, think about it this way. The way they train and learn how to snap a puck yeah. is 15 times the weight of one of those orange hockey balls.
Yeah.
But that thing hits you. They just snap it off.
Yeah, like, I mean, it's incredible. I remember the pain, and it was no fun. I probably had a lot of welts on my legs.
If you guys ever see my legs, you can see all the damage I've gotten from the years of playing.
Scars. I used to wear shin pads. I couldn't not wear shin pads. And I think the first year I played in the league, I didn't have hockey gloves either.
Right.
I got them for Christmas that year because my hands were so beat up. I think I sprained my left thumb twice in that year. And then just from sticks, like not like getting slashed necessarily, but more like getting caught in between and stuff because you're so closely playing. There isn't body checking.
And you're
so
playing hard too.
Yeah, I mean, there's no body checking, but you're always stick checking. So yeah, I ended up getting gloves and then shin pads and I was a little more protected. But oh man, yeah, those things sting like no other. And the way guys shoot, like there isn't any weight to them.
Yeah.
So you can't really read where it's going. Just if someone that you know has got a hard shot, just duck. Or get out of the way.
See, and I was defenseman. I never ducked. Like I literally tried dive.
You block shots
and block.
Yeah.
So I've got a lot of battle scars from that.
Chris Tanner.
You talk about tournaments. I was involved in ball hockey tournaments in my kind of mid to late 20s. And one of my memories from that is that I wasn't the best player, but I had gotten an award for hardest working player of the tournament.
Yeah. Especially being a defenseman, that's important, right?
Yeah.
He's a grinder.
So we went off on a little bit of a tangent there, but let's talk a little bit more about some experiences we have at live sporting events. I'll tell you one thing. Actually, one of the very first sporting events other than football that I got to experience as a kid was WWF wrestling.
Oh, nice.
Okay. I got to see an in-your-house pay-per-view. It was 1998, I think. It might have been 96, actually. It might even go back that far. I got to see like Owen Hart. I got to see Big Van Vader. At the time, he was called Big Van Vader.
Yeah. Ahmed. Time.
Yeah. Ahmed Johnson. Just like some of these awesome, like these guys who, when you think about wrestling, like these are the guys. The only person I didn't get to see was like obviously Hulk Hogan because I don't think he was wrestling in the WWF at the time, but. You know, I saw Undertaker and Mankind have a match, and it was one of the craziest things happened during that match. Mankind came from underneath the ring and ripped a hole in the ring and pulled Undertaker through it. It was so awesome. I'm 42 years old and I'm thinking about this like right now is like the coolest thing I ever saw.
I wanted so badly to see a WWF or WWE pay-per-view back in the day.
And this was early too. This was early like when like Sunny was one of the divas, you know, like they didn't even call them divas back then.
So that was
she was like a manager and
definitely mid-90s.
And I got a Sunny t-shirt. I'm trying to think 96. I was probably 14, something like that. So 14 years old, walking around town with my Sunny t-shirt on. I remember during bathtub races, you know how we used to have the Marine Festival downtown. They had this sort of one of our main streets is closed off, and they have all these like markets, you know, that they had open and stuff. I'm walking by, and this guy goes, "How much you want for that shirt?"
You ain't getting this shirt, bud.
I was like, "No." I was like, "Sorry, man, not for sale." But it was, you know, she was my favorite, and just it was one of the best memories, just getting to go see live pay-per-view wrestling, which was really cool. And it was probably one of the first ones in Vancouver too, so it was really exciting.
Nice. I never saw a pay-per-view, but they did have WWE come to the Saddle Dome, and when I was 15 years old, when I saw that, and saw, you know, Stone Cold, The Rock, Undertaker, the whole works. Trish Stratus at the time was the diva.
The diva. They were divas back then, yeah.
I was saying to, sorry, Paul, about Trish real quick. I was saying to Tiff the other night, because I've been, every now and again, I'll throw on Netflix and we'll be killing time, and I'll just throw on an old pay-per-view, and Trish Stratus was coming down to the match, and Tiff was like, "You definitely had a crush on her, didn't you?" And I'm like, "I did." And to be honest with you, I think she was the only diva at the time that didn't pose naked for like Playboy
or something like that.
All the other ones kind of didn't. She didn't.
Yeah.
And of course, that's the one you wanted
the most respectable.
That's right.
Also, the hulking China was there too. Like, it was a cool experience.
Yeah. You know, the one cool thing, I mean, I'm not the biggest wrestling fan now. That being said, you know, I watched the most recent pay-per-view that was in Vancouver, which was the Survivor Series. Me and my son Charlie watched it because he's interested in wrestling, right? So, and I took him to see, we have this local wrestling called VIPW. I took him to that, and he absolutely loved it too. So it's kind of reminds me and my dad when I was a kid, you know, going to see wrestling and stuff. So it's fun. It's entertaining, and that's literally the point of it, right? So you know, that memory, thinking about that pay-per-view, is so much fun.
I had one other one that comes to mind as kind of a really cool experience, and that was in 2013. Our buddy Mike and I went down to Seattle for the weekend to catch the 3 Jays games in Seattle. And neither of us had been to a game, and we got in there. We were right on the third base side, probably, I don't know, 15 rows back or something, right? Almost right in line with third base. And we didn't realize, I do now because I've been a few times, but I didn't realize at the time how many Canadian fans go down across the border to watch the games. And when the anthem started, there was a whole, you know, exchanging of the colors, and the guard came out, and they had, you know, the video board was all Canada and everything like this.
Yeah.
And the anthem in that arena was so loud. It was deafening loud.
Wow.
And more loud than the arena experience during the game. Like, nothing was comparable.
It's ironic because it's outdoors. And you don't expect the sound to carry that
way. And it was so loud. And there was a guy behind me. I presume an American. And, "What are y'all Canadians so excited about baseball for?" Well, you realize that the Blue Jays are the only Canadian team, right? They've got an entire country cheering. "Oh, I didn't know that." I'm thinking to myself, don't Americans know everything about baseball?
Just ignorance is bliss, I think, more than anything.
So, and the coolest thing about that game was it was the season after they traded for R.A. Dickey. And so we got to watch the knuckleballer because he was their ace at the time.
Right.
The first pitch of the game, obviously the Jays hitting as a visiting team, Jose Reyes popped one out of the park, the first pitch of the game.
Yeah,
it was a pretty cool experience. Mike and I were just like, "This is awesome!" I think they ended up winning 6-1 or something like that, and they won 2 out of 3 that weekend, so cool. That was cool.
Yeah. Very cool.
Yeah.
If I'm looking at Blue Jays memories, you know, similar to you, Mike, I remember going down to Seattle with your wife and your brother for a series. I believe we missed the first game, but we saw the last three of that series.
Was it a 4-game series?
I'm pretty sure it was a 4-game series.
Right.
Yeah, and that's the first time I'd ever seen the Blue Jays live. Like, I'd been following my whole life. I lived in Toronto when I was a kid, so I never had saw it as a kid. So to have that experience as an adult and to have that stick, I thought it was one of the best.
That's cool.
Baseball experiences I've had.
Yeah. I love those bleacher seats in center field.
Yeah.
You got room. You've got a direct view of the play. Yeah, you're far back, but like, I don't know. I love those seats. The only thing that I would say is that on a hot day, if you're in an afternoon game, which when we went down this past summer that we had 2 afternoon games, it was so hot because you are in the sun for like 2/3 of the game. And it was brutally hot down there when we went. I'm talking 34 degrees probably.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
The sun's just beating on you. You're sitting on a metal seat. It's just like, holy crap. I had my neck fan with me and it wasn't doing anything. I don't think I've ever sweated so much. It was
blowing hot air on your neck.
Oh, yeah. It was just nasty.
That's
but
funny.
Good seats all around.
Go ahead. My only disappointment of that series was you and Mike raved so much about the garlic fries when you guys went. I had them and I was like, this is so disappointing.
You can only have them once, man. For the 3-game set, you eat them once and I'm satisfied. But I think as soon as you walk into that ballpark, that's all you can smell.
Yeah.
Is the garlic fries. Sweat and garlic fries in that ballpark. That's all you can smell.
I have one last one that I kind of have in mind when I think about sports memories, live sports memories, and for me it sticks in my head because of course I lived in Vancouver during the 2011 season, and the 2011 season, in my opinion, and I've followed this team since I was like a baby, so I remember 94 very well. I don't remember 82 because of course I was born that year, but 2011 to me stands out as probably one of the best seasons for Vancouver Canucks history. And, I went to a lot of games that year because of a guy I was in film school with, knew Shane Doan. So we would often get free tickets. And, I went to probably three Arizona Canuck games. And I went to, I remember one specific game, a friend of mine got us tickets to go see, Minnesota. And Canucks, and they ended up winning that game. Like it was like 5-1 or something like that. But it was that game that solidified them the President's Trophy. And to me, that was a huge experience getting to see that. And kind of for me, it was like they made history. You know, they won their first ever President's Trophy, and it was, I think it was the most points they'd ever had in a season too. So it was a really, really, really incredible run. And obviously. Not what we would have liked for a result in losing game 7 of the Stanley Cup final. And of course I lived in Vancouver during the riot and everything that happened that year too. So I remember, looking out my back door and seeing the city have black smoke in the air and things like that. It was incredible with cars on fire and stuff, but that's a whole other podcast, but, but I mean, ultimately, it's still part of the experience and, it's obviously a sad experience, but that season was an incredible season for sure. Now, boys, let's move on to another topic. Continuing on with sports, obviously, one thing that's happening this season that we might even get a chance to see, if it's a possibility, Mr. Alex Ovechkin has a chance to beat a record. Probably the most important record, which is Wayne Gretzky's scoring record.
And what was once considered to be the most unbeatable.
Unbeatable, record. Exactly. Do you think he's going to do it this year?
I do, yeah. It's I've talked, I think, in previous podcasts about this, and I've talked with you guys in general. So I don't think initially that he was going to, but
yeah.
With the start that he's had, he's gone through a broken leg and is still on a good scoring pace. I actually really think that he can achieve
it's really possible. It's really possible. But I mean, ultimately it kind of makes you think, like, are there other records out there that are impossible to break? Like, what are we thinking of, like, when it comes to comparables to that?
One of the ones I would probably consider, at least maybe it has to do with the conditioning, because we were talking about that on another podcast. Would be probably Gordie Howe's and Chris Chelios's amount of seasons that they played.
Yeah.
Do you guys have an idea how many seasons they played in total?
Chelios, I'll say 23.
I think Gordie Howe was 22 and Chelios was 21.
Both of them were 26.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
26 seasons.
Can you imagine playing NHL hockey for almost 30 years? I mean, I can't imagine playing NHL hockey for 1 year, but like, can you imagine that? The Sedins played, 18 or 17 years?
Yeah, something like that. And I think the game's, because the way the game is now, right, it's really fast pace. It's probably harder hitting than maybe if you're looking at some of the previous years. I know that there was a lot of fighting and stuff like that way back in the day.
Well, also to consider the rules back then.
Yeah.
When you could get away with literal murder.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's one that, looking at how the NHL is nowadays, I think Jágr probably came close to it.
isn't he still playing?
He's still playing.
Yeah.
Just not in the NHL.
Just not in the NHL. If he hadn't gone over to the KHL, he might have, actually.
So let me ask you guys this then. You guys are well-versed in Sidney Crosby and his career and his resume.
Mm-hmm.
How many more seasons do you think he plays in the NHL?
You know, he's so hard to read because you consider the fact the guy's been concussed like 4 times in his career and he's still playing like he's 20 years old. Like, he's doing incredible things out
there.
Do
you think he's got 6-7 more years, or are we talking
maybe
2 or 3?
So what's his contract? He just signed a 3-year contract, right?
At $8.7
million. That's right. Yeah, so right? $8.7 million for 3 more years. So that'll probably make him, like, how old is he? He's probably, like, 35?
So this is his 20th season in the NHL.
Yeah. I say he does. So that means by the time this contract's up, it'll be his 22nd year, right? Because this is his 20th. This is year one of that contract.
The reason I know that is his first year in the NHL was the same year I graduated high school.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. He's the same age as me.
Yeah.
He's 37.
Yeah. Okay, so 37. He'll be 40 when this contract's up.
Does he play till 44?
No. I'm going to say he probably retires. Sadly, I think he retires after this contract is up. That's my guess.
Yeah, he's still playing at a high pace right now at 38, right? So, you know, maybe he takes Chris Chelios takes one under his wing and plays another, you know, 8 seasons on top of everything. But I'd say it's hard to say. You know,
it's incredible. You don't when you consider the fact that he's had the injuries he's had, and the fact that he's still playing strong, as if he's never been injured. It's incredible.
You can't say enough about Crosby.
These are what make players the best players in the world, in my opinion. You know, you can be McDavid, you can be McKinnon, you can, you know, do the things that they do, but longevity, I think, is key. And especially with what he brings, the way he sees the ice, like, he's still the best player, in my opinion.
I agree. Yeah, 100%. I talked a little bit about hits and physicality. There is a current NHL player who's not playing on a team, but that leads the league in hits, and that's Cal Clutterbuck. He has 4,029 hits. Do you think there's a player that could possibly surpass him?
Yeah, I mean, obviously Kiefer Sherwood. He's going to surpass him this year. That's a joke.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I'd probably have to look at a current list of players with their hits. But
do you have who's closest to him?
Yeah, so former Canuck, former Leaf, Luke Shen is possibly able to...
How far away is he?
So Shen right now has around 3,000, almost 3,700 hits, almost around that.
He's like 1,000 shy?
No, not even that. He's about 350 shy.
Okay, so
two full seasons.
More. Yeah, maybe one if he has a good year. But
that's interesting. The difference between because Kyle Clutterbuck's a forward and Shen's a defenseman.
Yeah,
generally forwards get more hits.
Yeah,
huh? I mean, hey, they'd be kind of curious to see in a couple of seasons. That's interesting. We should put that one in the bank and think about that.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I'm not going to sit here and say that it's impossible for him to pass that record because obviously anything's possible, especially with Luke Shen, considering the way he came back and the way he's still playing after coming back. Like, he's had a bit of a resurgence, you know, and it's incredible. So, you know, for him, anything's possible. It's just tough because he's a defenseman.
Well, you know, talking about defensemen, Mark Giordano had the most, at least in terms of what they tracked, is the all-time leader for block shots. There is discussion that either Mark Edward Vlasic, John Carlson, or even Alex Pietrangelo could pass that.
How does Tanev not have the most block shots?
Maybe near the end of his career, he will.
I mean, he's coming close to the end of his career when you consider, you know, his age.
34 now.
Yeah. And what he does for a living. I mean, you got to think he's only got a couple of years left, but yeah.
I'd love to be his dentist.
Oh my God.
Makes millions, probably.
Like, does he have any real teeth left?
I have no idea.
Literally block shots with his face.
Do we have anything outside of hockey that sticks out there, Paul?
Yeah, if we're looking at other sports, there's a reason this trophy is named the way that it is. We're looking at baseball. I believe Cy Young's wins record will never be beat. The next closest to him is almost 100 wins behind him.
Wow. Okay.
And these days, 100 wins is like seven seasons.
Yeah.
The way pitching and hitting is these days. Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's...
So that's one season?
No, in total career wins. Yeah, should have said career wins. Sorry about that, guys. Yeah, I think Cy Young's wins, it will never be beat.
Do you have the info on whether or not there's an active player? Like, which active player is the closest in wins? Because I know, I mean, you got to think that Clemens is up there. Maybe Tom Glavine, Greg Maddux. I'd think that they'd be up there.
Yep.
Nolan Ryan's got to be up there. I'd be curious about, I mean, I would think if there's somebody still playing, maybe Max Scherzer or Justin Verlander would be my pick, my guess.
You're looking at current, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, because if you're looking at like Roger Clemens and Greg Maddux, they're 8 and 9 on the list. So, they were there. And at the time, or for them, Maddux had 355, Clemens had 354 wins. So again, still like 170 wins behind Cy Young.
Wow.
And they were, you know, considered
the best.
The best.
What era did Cy Young, I'm not a baseball fan, so I forgive me, but what era did Cy Young play?
1867 he was born.
Oh, well, there you go.
There you go.
So, yeah, so he probably played in, like, the Brooklyn Dodgers era. And
Cy Young was born before Canada was.
closest active player right now. He's 40th on the list. Justin Verlander.
Yeah. Okay, so there you go.
And, he's about done, too.
That's probably a record that may never be beat. Like,
yeah,
that's probably untouchable.
That's why I bring that one up.
That's why I asked what era he played in too, because like ultimately, what did the league look like back then? You know, because I know like I'm thinking of like, you know, the era of like Babe Ruth and stuff like that.
Yeah, that's true.
Where you have like certain players who were the best at what they were doing, but there was like literally a few of them, right? Whereas everybody else is kind of average players and they keep the game going kind of thing, but...
Now, there's a lot of people that say, when you're, again, looking at baseball, that Pete Rose's hit record will never be beat.
Right.
Ty Cobb came close. He was about 67 hits behind Pete Rose.
Wow.
So he came close, and they both played 24 seasons. If Albert Pujols had kept playing, you know, probably at least another couple seasons, he might have come close. He had 3,384 hits in 22 seasons.
And what's Pete Rose's record?
4,256.
Jeez. That's incredible.
Bet on red.
How many seasons did he play?
Pete Rose played 24 seasons.
24 seasons.
So, like I said, Pujols could have maybe...
Did you say bet on red? I just caught that.
I did.
I just caught that pun. That's hilarious.
For quick context, Cy Young retired in 1911.
Wow.
Okay.
So, what? Yeah. Maybe, way off. Did he go to World War I after that? Like, what the hell?
Maybe.
He was inducted into the Baseball Hall of Fame in 1937. So, yeah. And by the way, just for a quick reference, because I just looked it up and saw it, there is a town in Ohio called Newcomers Town.
Okay.
And that's where he died.
Interesting.
For if anybody wants to have baseball
trivia.
Isn't
Cooperstown in Ohio?
Cooperstown is in New York.
New York, okay.
Can you guess, again, retired a long time ago, can you guess what former Blue Jay made it into the top 10 for hits?
I can guess... Joe Carter?
Didn't play many seasons with them, but he did play for them.
Tony Fernandez?
Good guess. Paul Molitor.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay.
Paul Molitor.
Right.
Helped them win the 93 series.
Right. Yeah. Yes, he absolutely did. Interesting. Okay. That's cool.
In terms of top 50 for hitters, there's no active player that's even in the top 50 right now.
Wow. That's crazy. So there's a lot of records out there that are just like, obviously in baseball, it's like a really hard thing to surpass, but like there's a lot of untouchables there.
And it's a very stats-based game, right?
Yeah.
And it's been around a long time. So the first professional baseball game was played in 1839.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Now you made mention to strikeouts and Nolan Ryan. Nolan Ryan leads that category by a large margin too. He had 5,714 strikeouts in his career. The next closest was Randy Johnson, and he's almost 1,000 strikeouts behind.
Wow.
Him.
Crazy.
Yep.
So hard one to beat. I don't know that that one's going to be beat either. Like, it's the thing with baseball. Like, if you're really good, you're going to stand out. If you're good, you might not even make it into the top 10 list.
Yeah. Didn't he throw out the pitch at a Rangers game about 5 years ago at like 68 years old and they clocked him?
Yeah.
And he still threw like 87?
Crazy.
Maybe he's playing in an old-timer league or something still. Maybe. But like, that's,
I mean, you got to think he must have warmed up his arm kind of thing.
He ripped it. You could see him. He jumped right into it for the first pitch.
Now, if you're looking at like some controversy in baseball, obviously Barry Bonds had the single season record of 73. A lot of the guys, unfortunately, that are on this list, the whole PED thing was a major issue, and that's something that they screen for now. It might be hard to even beat any of the top five home run single
makes season you wonder
records.
If they were on PEDs back then. Yeah. Just putting that out there.
Cork the bat too, why not?
Obviously, just because, like I said, you're looking at PEDs basically being completely removed out of the system. Now, you've got players have come close. Aaron Judge had 62.
Yeah.
That was back in 2022. So he was only 11 behind Barry Bonds. And he's not had anything in his system as far as we know.
As far as we know. We're gonna assume.
So there is active players that still possibly could do it. Maybe even Shohei Ohtani if he keeps being as miraculous and amazing a player as he is. But I'd say it's pretty hard to beat that.
Yeah,
Ohtani at this point is on pace to break the home run, hits, and strikeout record.
So you gotta ask yourself, I mean, with all these records, I think about, for example, going back to hockey for a second, I think about the record that Ovechkin has a chance to break. You got to ask yourself, okay, well, then what comes next now? Let's say hypothetically Ovechkin decides to retire after he breaks this record. Now there's a chance for somebody to come in and try to do the same exact thing but beat his record. Like, this is the exciting thing about professional sports. There's always a record to be broken.
Yeah.
And people and players always get better, right? So
who do you think has a chance to break
that? I think currently nobody.
Wow.
And I'd say based upon what they've talked about on TV
and
current
the pace,
pace
that he's at?
Austin Matthews.
Okay, fair enough.
And to well surpass Ovechkin
the whole thing. And you would agree with me in this. So the reason why Ovechkin has the record he has is because of the amount of games he's missed over the, how long has his career been again?
04 was his first year, so this is his 21st
season. So 21 years, he's missed what, 6 games?
Yeah, it hasn't been many.
Yeah,
it was, not I think it was many. 6.
And so Austin Matthews has missed much more time.
And is on a higher pace.
he needs to stay healthy though.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, he hasn't necessarily stayed healthy so far, and he's still on pace.
Fair enough. Yeah.
So, but you're right.
It needs
there
to,
has to
it
be
needs,
some luck.
The pace needs to stay.
Yeah.
And that's the thing that's going to be the trickiest part. And plus, then, he's not a young man either. Like, he's not young. How far away is Austin Matthews right now from Ovechkin, record-wise?
Well, I'm not sure. Long way away.
Yeah.
The point being is that if you look at it from that perspective, Ovechkin has stayed healthy, so he's played longer.
Right.
If Matthews is going to continue to be injured, well, his career will be short.
Exactly.
So,
yeah, it's a catch-22, really. But that's the point I'm making. Like, I can't think of any active player who I can say for sure has a chance to do what Ovechkin has. I can't say there's a young player coming into the league who has that ability, because I don't know if anybody has the same ability as Ovechkin does, you know, in terms of surpassing those totals.
Another cool, actually, record and stat that Ovi could surpass is not just Gretzky's record for most goals ever. In terms of game winners, those are very important. He could possibly surpass Jaromir Jagr for most game-winning goals ever.
Crazy. That's an interesting stat.
Think about it this way real quick, just because I've got it in front of me. Austin Matthews right now is 11th on the all-time active goal list,
yep.
Active players.
How old is Austin Matthews?
He's 20.
I
don't even think he's 27 yet. I think he turns 27 this year. Maybe.
This year, yeah.
But as an example, Steven Stamkos is third on the active list with 572 goals.
Right.
And 1,136 games.
Which puts him like 400 goals less than Ovechkin.
Correct.
Yeah.
Austin Matthews has 388 goals.
Yeah.
So we're talking approximately 190 goals less. and he's played half the games.
Yeah.
Half the games.
So there you go. That proves what I'm. That proves my point, though. Like, ultimately, like, he has to stay healthy, and he's got to play a hell of a lot more years to be able to surpass what Ovechkin's done. Right. It does look daunting when you consider the amount of points he's gotten in his career. I'm talking about Ovechkin here. It's an incredible feat. It really, really is.
Probably another one that, because obviously every goal for any player in any sport is to win a championship. I think another one that's going to be hard to beat, and if you look at, you know, hockey back way back in the 50s and 60s, he only had 16, so this stat would make sense. But the most Stanley Cup wins by a player is held by Rocket Richard, and he won 11.
Rocket Richard.
You likely won't see that now with how many teams there are. We have 32 teams in the league, so not likely we'll ever see, again, a player have that many Stanley Cup wins unless, you know, you have like a completely dominant team for 10 straight years that nobody can beat, right?
Seems like a movie when you consider the task at hand. Speaking of movies, I think Brandon's got some trivia he'd like to throw our way.
I think this is going to be kind of fun. What I've done, guys, just so you're aware, I'll explain it to you and to our listeners, is I've gone through and I've basically taken two quotes in the form of one question. I'm gonna say both of the quotes to you guys. And I mean, we don't have a buzzer or anything, but if one of you guys want to jump in and say your guess.
let's not use buzzer sounds.
So there's two parts to it. For each one, I'd like to see if you could identify the movie. And then the whole point is to tell me out of the two quotes which one you prefer.
Okay.
Out of the two.
All right.
Okay. I've tried to... Every single quote is from a different movie, but I've tried to kind of pair them era-wise a little bit, if that makes sense.
Yep.
Okay. So the first one, and I do have the ability to give a hint if you need it. It'll more so be like... probably the year-ish.
Reminds me of music trivia a little bit.
Kind of, yeah, exactly. All right, first quote. Now, you got a corpse in a car minus a head in the garage. Take me to it.
Pulp Fiction.
Hmm.
Yeah.
I was thinking Pulp Fiction, but then I was like, I don't recognize that. Okay.
Quote two. Get busy living or get busy dying.
Yeah. I know it. Maybe I'm not going to be so good at this. I know the quote.
Came out the same year as Pulp Fiction did.
Get busy living or you get busy dying. Oh, it's Shawshank Redemption. Yeah. And I'm going to go with that as my favorite. Yeah.
I would go with Pulp Fiction, actually. I love Shawshank.
I love both movies.
But Pulp Fiction, I saw Pulp Fiction later in life, too. I didn't see it when it came out. I saw it when I was probably 30 years old, so
right.
But it's left an impression with me since. Like, Shawshank left an impression too, but yeah. Just how unique the directing style and the acting and everything was, it really got me loving Tarantino that much more. So yeah, I go Pulp.
Well, particularly the dialogue that Tarantino uses, like, that movie is full of so many quotes and one-liners, but like, it's all discussion based, like. So funny.
And I think for me, like, I saw Pulp Fiction, I think I've only seen it once.
Yeah.
I've seen snippets of it through the years, but I saw it pretty early, and then I didn't see Shawshank till, again, I was probably about 30 when I saw Shawshank.
Oh, wow.
But I've seen it now 20 times since. Yeah. So.
So good.
Okay, number two. As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a gangster. To me, being a gangster was better than being president of the United States.
Goodfellas.
Yeah.
Love that movie. There, one of my favorite shots, I'm thinking of as a cinematographer, one of my favorite shots is called a mise-en-scène, where it's like just one long take. And there's a specific scene, and I think it's when he's saying that line, if I remember correctly, where the camera's following him into a nightclub. It might not be during that line, but there's a scene where the camera's following him into the nightclub, and it's just one long take where it follows him through the kitchen, and he's shaking people's hands, and it follows them all the way through, and they get tables for him and his date, and like, they set it up for him while he's walking in. It's an incredible shot and just a really great movie.
Hey, you're funny. You're funny. Funny how?
Yeah.
Okay, quote two. Ernest Hemingway, just to clarify, this line, the whole line is part of the quote.
I don't recognize this quote.
Yes.
So far.
Ernest Hemingway once wrote, "The world is a fine place and worth fighting for." I agree with the second part. This one's tough.
Yeah, I don't recognize it.
1995 came out. Brad Pitt, Morgan Freeman.
Seven.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I have to see Seven again. It's been a long time since I've seen that.
It's an eerie movie.
It is.
I watched it a couple months ago. It's eerie.
Yeah.
And it's like, I actually find from the other movies in that era, Seven seems to be behind the times.
Yeah.
But I think it's done on purpose. It's almost like a gothic style.
Definitely done on purpose.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. And it's, you know, the rainy darkness of the city and yeah. That one, but
was that Michael Mann that directed that film?
I believe it was.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. Moving on.
So Goodfellas wins, by the way.
Goodfellas.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Seven wins for me.
There you go. There you go. Nice. Two opposites. I love it. This is what I was hoping for. That's
what he was hoping for.
Okay. Excuse me. I believe you have my stapler.
Oh, Office Space. Love that movie.
You see my stapler?
And you're saying it wrong. Excuse me. I believe you had my stapler.
Sorry.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Quote number two. Life's a bitch. Now so am I.
I don't recognize that one.
My hint will be it's a superhero movie of the time. Early 90s.
Not like Tank Girl or something?
No. More comic based. Character's female.
I was guessing that it was a female, but I was trying to think.
If I give you the actress, you'll get it right away, probably.
Is it Jennifer Garner?
Pam Anderson?
Nope.
Is it Jennifer Garner?
Michelle Pfeiffer.
Batman Returns.
Batman Returns.
Yeah.
There it is. That's right.
Okay. Interesting.
Yeah. I didn't see Office Space till I was probably 25.
It's one of my favorite first of all, it's Mike Judge, who created Beavis and Butthead. It's a Mike Judge movie. It's really good. It's one of my favorites. When I do like my Zoom meetings and stuff, my background is Gary Cole, who plays the boss.
Yeah.
Hovering over a cubicle.
Oh, yeah.
So he's over my shoulder every time we do a Zoom meeting, and nice. Everybody loves it. They're like, "That's so awesome!" And it's like, "Yeah, I love that movie. It's so good."
I would probably, as much as I love Office Space, he picked like one of my favorite Batman films, so I go Batman Returns.
Okay, themes continuing. I love it. Okay. Well, what if there is no tomorrow? There wasn't one today.
There wasn't one today.
I recognize the line. I can't pinpoint it, though.
Yeah, can you give me a hint?
Sure. 1993.
That's your hint?
Yep. Comedian was a lead actor.
Hmm.
What if I do this? Babe, I got you, babe. Nothing?
Nothing.
Well, we're going to have too much dead air. I might as well
just is it a comedy?
Yep. Definitely a comedy.
I don't know.
93?
90, what did I say?
You said 93.
93, yeah, correct. Bill Murray's the actor.
Oh, is it Groundhog Day?
Groundhog Day.
My head was actually going there.
Yeah.
I love that movie, too. That's so funny.
Yeah. Okay. You shoot me in a dream, you better wake up and apologize.
Same year.
Just about.
Okay.
1 year earlier.
92.
Clowns to the left of me, jokers to the right, here I am.
Is it called Stuck in the Middle?
No. Okay. That was my hint.
I may never have seen it. I don't know.
Michael Madsen, Harvey Keitel.
The Reservoir Dogs?
Reservoir Dogs.
Yeah.
Okay.
Huh. That's a Tarantino movie.
I'd probably go Groundhog.
I think I agree. It's funny because I love Tarantino movies, but Reservoir Dogs is it's good. It's great. It's just not my favorite Tarantino movie.
Yeah, that's fair. Okay. I'm excited about this one.
Okay. Snakes,
why did it have to be snakes?
Indiana Jones.
Yeah,
which one?
Temple of Doom. Not Last Crusade. What's the other one? Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Yeah, that a boy.
There we go.
Good job. Okay, you're gonna need a bigger boat.
Jaws.
Yeah, Jess.
And it's we're going to need a bigger boat, isn't it?
I said you're going to need a bigger boat.
I thought it was
after
weird.
After the pirating that I did of this quote.
Fair enough.
Indiana for me.
Yeah. Yeah.
Nice.
Iconic. They're both iconic, just Indiana Jones for sure.
Cool.
Yeah.
I still haven't seen any of the Indiana Jones movies.
Wow.
Again, I'm not choosing to.
Now? I think six now, actually.
Six?
No, there's five.
Five.
Because
Crystal Skull was number four, and then
Dial of Destiny.
What I think I want to do is allot some time, like maybe if I'm on holidays or something and I'm at home, to kind of watch all of them.
Yeah.
Again, I'm not against it. I'm not purposely not watching them. I just don't have the time to sit and dedicate to it. And I'd kind of want to get the whole experience.
Totally.
You could probably skip Kingdom of the Crystal Skull.
Yeah.
Is that one of the newest ones?
It's the fourth one.
The fourth one, yeah.
Okay.
You can skip it.
Okay. I mean, maybe you should watch it just for the experience of, and then you can join everybody and be like, that's the worst, but yeah.
All right. Moving on. Your scientists were so preoccupied with whether or not they could, they didn't stop to think if they should.
Jurassic Park.
I was going to say Jurassic Park. Yeah. I don't recognize the quote, but I was going to guess Jurassic Park, it seemed like.
Yeah. Okay. Against, life moves pretty fast. If you don't stop.
Oh, Ferris Bueller. Come on.
Dude.
Ferris Bueller.
Let him finish the quote.
Go ahead. Finish the quote.
Life moves pretty fast. If you're Joe, you just spout out answers. If you don't stop and look around once in a while, you could miss it.
To be clear, it's Ferris Bueller's day off. And I'm going to go with Ferris Bueller's because, Jaws is great in all. Or Jaws. Jurassic Park is great and all, but Ferris Bueller is iconic. Iconic. Cult.
It is. Yeah, it is a cult film. I love Matthew Broderick. Jurassic Park.
I knew you were going to say that.
Such an impact on me. I can't.
It's not even close for me.
No. For me, it's Ferris Bueller's all the way. Yeah. And you know what? Here, I'll give you a legit reason why, ultimately. And I don't want to drag this on, but like, Jurassic Park 3 ruined Jurassic Park 4.
I would agree.
And if you're familiar with it, you'll know why, but ultimately it's because it just ends.
Yeah.
And I remember sitting in that theater, I was pissed. I was like, what? It's just over? It's just done? That's it? I was so mad. I could not, and I was a kid, but I was just like, this is stupid. You don't just end a movie. It reminded me of Lord of the Flies. Do you remember the book Lord of the Flies, where
consider myself to be Lord of the Fries.
Yes, Lord of the Fries. But in Lord of the Flies, there you know, in the story, the kids are kind of at this climactic point where they're chasing after each other, and then all of a sudden, there's a man there and he rescues them and it's over.
Yeah, Yeah. Yeah, it was one of those ones, too.
That's what Jurassic Park was, the third one. And so it ruined it for me.
Well, it's funny. You had to look at the Jurassic Park films of how they've gone. The first one's been great. The other two have been duds.
Yeah.
Same with the Jurassic World. The first one's great. Yeah. The other two have been duds.
No.
There's Jurassic Rebirth coming out soon. Hopefully that's good.
Yeah. So let's cross our fingers.
Okay, next. I'll give you a hint ahead of time. This is a battle of a couple of action movies. All right.
Nice.
I don't know what's scarier, losing nuclear weapons, or that it happens so often there's actually a term for it.
Is that like The Rock or something?
It is not The Rock.
Okay.
Broken Arrow?
Broken Arrow. That's actually the term he's referring to, Broken Arrow. It's the term they use for when they lose nuclear weapons.
Interesting. Okay. You know what? I've seen Broken Arrow once. I don't remember anything about it.
Check it out again if you're looking for an action movie. Disney Plus. Quote 2. To be or not to be. Not to be.
And he says not to be before somebody gets killed or something?
I know the movie. I cannot think of it.
You're going to say the movie and I'll be like, come on.
I'll give you the actor.
Okay.
Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Yeah. Okay, so around that time, maybe like End of Days or something?
Before that. Before End of Days.
What's that one?
True Lies?
Before no. True Lies. Okay. Just.
What's that one called? Not the Sixth Day?
No, I'm trying to remember. Give me a quick sec. I'll do it on the fly.
Running Man?
No. Running Man was like the 80s.
Yeah, that's true.
I want to give you the actor's name.
Is it Schwarzenegger that says that line?
Yes.
To be or not to be.
Not to be.
Not to be.
Charles Dance.
Oh, Last Action Hero.
Last Action Hero.
That's right.
Okay. All right. Yeah, Last Action
I think
Hero.
That's one of those. It's like during the movie previews where he's like playing Hamlet or something. Yeah. And it's in black and white and not to be.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I knew the quote. I just couldn't pinpoint it immediately.
Okay, so for picking, I'm going to go Broken Arrow just because I remember even as a kid watching Last Action Hero and not being all that impressed by it.
See, and I'll go Last Action Hero because I wasn't impressed by Broken Arrow.
Fair enough. Like I said, I only saw Broken Arrow once and I don't really remember it, but I just remember how I felt about Last Action Hero and kind of like being a little turned off by it.
I'll side with Joe on this one. Yeah. I'm a Broken Arrow fan.
Nice.
I like 90s John Travolta. He's just, I don't know. I really like him.
Yeah, he was good.
Okay. This one might be the easiest one.
Okay.
There are rich teams and there are poor teams. Then there's 50 feet of crap. Then there's us.
Moneyball.
Yeah.
Okay. Look at me. I'm the captain now.
Oh, Captain Phillips.
Yeah.
I'll go with Captain Phillips. I loved Moneyball, but I remember seeing Captain Phillips in the theater and just, it was a great movie.
I will go with Moneyball, but it's a slight edge. I thought that was one of Tom Hanks' best acted roles was Captain Phillips.
Yep.
Especially at the end when he's been rescued and
he's just
like
emotional.
He's acting the shock and the emotion, like, and that's acting doing that. It's not like actual shock. And like you would think he's in actual shock.
He's legit grateful to be rescued. Yeah.
Now I wonder if that is similar to what happened to Matt Damon in The Martian, and in that movie, what they did was they actually, during filming, they isolated Matt Damon from the rest of the crew.
That's right.
Just like they did in the actual movie. And then at the end, when he hears their voices speaking to him, his emotional reaction was genuine because it had been that long since he had
heard their voices,
period, in general. Yeah, so
totally.
I wonder if it's something similar to get that effect.
Yeah,
maybe.
Yeah.
I'll go an edge with Moneyball too. I think the sports history side of it, just takes the edge for me, gets my vote. But again, yeah, they're both pretty fantastic.
Well, it's cool. It's funny that both lead actors in those movies had emotional endings. Even Brad Pitt at the end of Moneyball had an emotional ending.
That's true.
Right. Yeah.
Okay. The only thing standing between you and your goal is the bullshit story you keep telling yourself as to why you can't achieve it.
Is it a sports movie?
No.
Type of movie?
Comedy, drama. Historical. Based on a true story.
Huh.
Year?
2013.
Say the quote again.
The only thing standing between you and your goal is the bullshit story you keep telling yourself as to why you can't achieve it.
I got nothing.
Jonah Hill.
Oh, is it Wolf of Wall Street?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Nice.
Next one might be tough, but don't overthink it. Genius, billionaire, playboy, philanthropist.
Avengers.
Avengers? Avengers?
Yeah.
Talking about Tony Stark?
The first one. Yeah. I love Wolf of Wall Street, but Marvel's.
I knew you were going to say that. I'm going Wolf of Wall Street just because it's a Scorsese movie, first of all. Epic.
Epic, yeah.
Amazing actors. Wolf of Wall Street.
I remember my parents going to see Wolf of Wall Street in the theaters. And we had dinner with them the following week or something, and we were talking about it, and my dad and mom, they're just like, oh God, don't you ever go see that movie. It's terrible. No, it's just so terrible. It's F this, it's F that. I watched the movie, I'm like, this is awesome. Yeah. This is hilarious. I love this movie.
But, so funny.
One of the things I loved about Avengers is it's your first multi-combination film of characters, right?
I think that's why I'm not choosing it, because when you compare the two singular movies,
totally.
You know, Scorsese, Wolf of Wall Street is always going to be that epic, right? But obviously the Avengers, because it's a series of movies and like, it, you know, it's a part of something bigger than the movie itself.
Totally.
Like, I think that's ultimately why, for me, I picked the Wolf of Wall Street.
All right. I think I got four pairs left.
Okay.
First one, time, you know. Takes everybody out. It's undefeated.
Time Cop? No. He shook his head. No,
yeah,
by the way.
I did. Yeah, I guess. Not Time Cop.
The audience is like, well,
probably 20 years after Time Cop.
So like 2015?
It's a is it
a time travel movie?
No.
Okay.
It's a sports related movie.
Time, you know. Say it again.
Time, you know, takes everybody out. It's undefeated.
Another hint. 2015.
Another hint would be emphasis on the undefeated part.
I got nothing.
Yeah. This is just a tough one. The second one's
tough.
The second
boxing film, I'm assuming, right?
It is boxing.
Yeah.
Is it The Fighter? Or not The Fighter. What's
Creed?
That? Warrior?
Yeah. Creed.
Oh, Creed.
Creed is what it is, yeah. Yep. Okay, this one's tough, too. I paired them together for a reason. If I saw a competitor drowning, I'd shove a hose down his throat. 1 year after Creed.
If I saw a competitor drowning,
I'd shove a hose down his throat.
I got nothing. I can't.
Yeah, to be honest,
I'm curious if you guys have seen this movie. I don't think we've really ever talked about it before, but I would think you have. The main actor used to play a superhero. he's in DC and MCU. How about that?
I got nothing.
Yeah, I got nothing.
The actor is Michael Keaton.
Is it Berman?
No, the movie's The Founder.
Oh, I love that movie.
I've never seen that movie.
Oh, no?
Yeah. You've never seen The Founder? It's great.
It's pretty good. It's about
McDonald's.
Beginning of McDonald's, oh, cool. Yeah.
How McDonald's started. He plays Ray Kroc.
Yeah. So, basically, is it... What's the tall guy's actor's name? He's in everything. His last name is Carroll, I think.
Tall guy.
Robert Carroll Lynch or Robert Lynch Carroll or something like that.
Tall guy. I'm trying to think of a tall guy. But... What character is he in the movie?
He's one of the brothers.
Oh, okay. Well, I know. The other guy is he was in Last of Us. He played the
Pedro Pascal.
No.
John Carroll Lynch is the guy's name I'm thinking of.
Yeah, his brother is the other guy. The
Nick Offerman.
Nick Offerman. Thank you. That's what I was thinking of.
Okay. That's that pair. That was a tough one.
I loved that movie though. I'll go with Creed on that one, just for the fact that I love the Rocky series.
Just because I haven't seen Founder of Creed.
this is a funny quote. I hear the list is longer than my Wang. That's not saying much. It's a horror movie.
Okay, I probably don't know it then. I'm not a big horror guy.
Yeah, I don't know it.
2017 it came out. It was a remake.
Is it like...
Oh, It.
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 Yeah.
Yeah.
It. Yep, It Part 1,
okay.
I guess.
Yeah, because there is a sequel.
Yeah. Manners maketh man.
Oh, Kingsman.
Nice.
Yeah.
Love that movie. Yeah. I'm going to go with Kingsman, just because I don't like horror. I let me rephrase. It's not that I don't like horror. I'm not a fan of the genre.
I will go with It, and it's only because it was unique to see it being redone and in my opinion done really well. I didn't necessarily like the sequel Part 2, but the first one I thought was quite entertaining and quite surprising. Yep. How good it was.
I 100% on board with you on that one. Okay, two left. She was the Picasso of passive-aggressive karate.
Nope, I don't know it.
I've heard this quote, but I cannot pinpoint it.
The quote was directed and about Jennifer Lawrence's character in this movie. It was also 2013.
Okay.
Silver Linings Playbook? No. Jennifer Lawrence, 2013. Oh, is it Hunger Games?
No.
No?
No.
I knew it wasn't Hunger Games, yeah. But...
Picasso.
A famous British actor was the male role. An actor who's known to go to extremes for his roles.
It's not like Prestige or something.
You're on the right track, though, with your thought process on the actor.
Christian Bale?
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of Christian Bale and Jennifer Lawrence.
Oh, Christian Bale like gained a bunch of weight for that film, too. It's not Hustle. It's...
You're there.
Yeah. Hustle and Flow? No,
American Hustle. Yeah.
Hustle.
With the world so set on tearing itself apart, It don't seem like such a bad thing to me to want to put a little bit of it back together.
I know that quote.
Another historical movie.
Okay.
2016.
Is it the Ray Charles movie?
No.
Is it a musician movie? A movie about a musician, I mean?
No. War movie?
What's that?
It's a war movie?
Yes. Vince Vaughn.
Oh,
2016?
Yeah, it's...
with Andrew...
Andrew Garfield.
Garfield. Yeah. I forget what it's called. It's the one where he's, like, carrying
something
soldiers.
Hawk. It's...
God. Hawk.
I know it.
Ridge? Something... Hacksaw Ridge?
Hacksaw Ridge.
Hacksaw Ridge. That's what it is. Yep. Hacksaw Ridge. What was the other one from?
American Hustle.
Oh, I'll go with Hacksaw Ridge.
I will also go with Hacksaw Ridge.
Yeah. I've seen Hacksaw a couple times. I think I've only seen American Hustle once.
I think I saw it once too. Yeah. Yeah.
It wasn't super memorable, but it had a pretty all-star cast.
Yes.
So I made sure that I watched it, and yeah. Okay.
This is it? This is the last one?
This is the last one.
All right.
See if you guys can figure this one out.
Hopefully the audience is with us still.
Yeah, okay. So, can you tell me what this is all about? Yeah, a guy I trusted for years wants me dead. That's understandable. I've only known you for 5 minutes, and I want you dead, too.
Yeah, it sounds familiar.
What year is it from?
You were three.
85? 86. 86?
Nope, 85.
Say the code again.
I know it.
Say the code again.
Can you tell me what this is all about? Yeah, a guy I trusted for years wants me dead. That's understandable. I've only known you for 5 minutes, and I want you dead, too.
Terminator?
No.
Yeah, he keeps shaking his head.
Shaking my head.
Scarface?
No.
No.
I know it. I know this quote.
I'll give you another hint. Come on, Joe. That's the best. That's the last hint I'm going to give.
I've only known you 5 minutes and I want you dead too. Yeah, I know this quote.
How about this? I lied.
Oh, Commando?
Commando.
It's Commando. How come I didn't know that?
Considering it's your top movie ever.
Yeah. Oh, that bugs me
now. I tried to catch you. Yeah. Okay. All right. Versus, what is the most resilient parasite? Bacteria, a virus, an intestinal worm, an idea. Resilient, highly contagious.
Inception, of course.
Completely different years, but I see where you're going with the quote. Yeah. That bugs me, man. I should have known that. I think we know who's picking what on this one.
Yeah. Commando, of course.
Oh, my God. Yeah, Paul's like, you know, I'm going to go with Commando on this one. Oh, man. That was fun, dude. That's cool. I enjoyed that a lot, actually. We should do that again. Hopefully, we'll do better next time.
I like doing stuff like that.
You know, I feel like this is something the audience could really get involved with too. Like if the audience have ideas for maybe trivia that we can do next time around, make sure you reach out to us at our social media. We're at the Puck and Pod. You know, we're available on TikTok. We are available on Twitter, Facebook. You name it, we're there, man. So make sure you reach out to us and let us know what you guys want to hear for future shows. And also, of course, if you want to listen to us, we're available on all sorts of different platforms, wherever you get your podcasts. But I think that's probably a good place to wrap it up here, boys. How you feeling about this one?
Oh, excellent. Always.
It's fun. I always enjoy this.
Yeah, trivia is always a good time, I think. Once again, for the Puck and Pod, my name is Joe.
Brando.
And I'm Paul.
We will see you guys on the next one.